that have gone on. And he said, okay, who do they think I am out there? And some said, well, John the Baptist. And others said, you're Elijah. And others said that you're this prophet or that prophet. But then Jesus looked at each one of his 12 disciples in the eye and said, yeah, but whom do you say that I am? We want your children to be able to know not just about Christ, but know him personally and know who he is. There's only three answers. And they're, you know, a lot of the kids that this is coming down the school year. Next week is their last week. So tests and final exams and questions that they've got to study for are something that they're used to. And we've all, us adults, have already gone through it. Praise the Lord, and we're done. But they're used to this idea. And the question is, who does your child think Christ is? Now, as I've often said, and I'll say it again, our children never become what we tell them. They become what we are. So tonight, I want to ask you, Mom and Dad, whom do you say that Jesus is? Now, there's only three possible answers. Number one, you could say he was a liar. You know, he was just a political opportunist. He knew he wasn't God. He just came to the forefront, and he was a great teacher, but he wasn't God. Or he's, if he wasn't a liar, then the other option is he was a lunatic. He was crazy. You know, he thought he was God, but he wasn't God. And even though he did good things, you know, he was crazy enough to die for his beliefs. Or if he's not a liar and he's not a lunatic, then the only other option is he's Lord. He really is who he said he is. I didn't say was, because he still is and always will be. And so the question is whom do you say Jesus is? You know, we recognize that your children are growing up and they are developing what we refer to as a worldview. How they view and interpret the world around them. And there's the Christian worldview, and then there's, of course, the secular or humanistic worldview. And they'll get that by default at the local public school. But what is it that we actually interpret this world to be? Is it actually a special creation from an almighty God who loves us and one day we will be accountable to? Or are we just an accident? We recognize that you're partnering with us. You're allowing us to teach your children the Christian worldview. That God not only is, but he did make everything. He can take them to heaven. He can forgive their sin. He does love them. And he will take care of them throughout their life and carry them on to heaven if they know him as their Savior. And this is something we want to make sure we're instilling, not just in the children, but in you as families. You know, so who is Jesus? Who is he? What is it that you want them to believe? He's God, that's right. He's God and man, that's right. You know, in John 11, when Jesus was coming to Bethany, Lazarus had already passed away, and he is 4 days getting there. And Martha was so mad at him for not being there, she met him out on the road. And she said, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, hey, your brother will rise again. She said, yes, at the judgment of the last day. And he said, no, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he looked her in the eye and he asked her one question. Do you believe? My brothers and sisters, you cannot teach what you do not know. You cannot instruct with that which you do not do. And tonight, we want to make sure we're a blessing not just to your children, but to the entire family. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I do a lot of funerals for people who don't have family. And the greatest tragedy, I think, is the fact that their children never know because they've never heard Mom and Dad's story. You have a story. If you know the Lord as your Savior, say amen. You have a story about when you met the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have a story about the time when you answered that question, who is Jesus? Is he just some great teacher? Is he just some political opportunist? Or is he really God of very God? And you were there the moment when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That is a family story that needs to be told. Maybe your children have asked you questions when you were, Mom and Dad, what was it like when you were a child? Of course, my kids are such stinkers. They're like, so what was it like riding a dinosaur, Dad, back when you didn't have paper and everything was written on stone? No, seriously. And we tell those stories about the things we used to do. And they'll say, Dad, what's that scar on your hand? That's where I got shot with a BB gun. You know, we do all kinds of crazy things and we tell our story. One of the greatest stories you can tell your children is, yes, how I met your mother and how we fell in love and why we're still together today. Those are great stories. But the greatest story you can tell your children is the day you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. Where were you when you got saved? What was the setting? Was it day? Was it night? Was it a Monday? Was it a Tuesday? Where were you? The Bible refers to it as being born again. We have been teaching your children that salvation is not a progressive group of things that you do. It's a one-time belief in Jesus Christ. It's referred to it as childbirth, as born again. So, are you born again? Number two, how were you born again? That's the story we're telling. And when did that happen? I remember when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was so concerned about my mom and dad. I went home. I was 23 years old and married and outside the house, but I went back to my elderly parents in their 70s, and I said, Mom, Dad, if you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? And they said, well, sure, I know. Well, how do you know? Well, I was 11, and it was Vacation Bible School. My dad said I was 14, and I was at a tent revival. And I'm like, well, why didn't you ever tell me? I went till I was 23 years old and never heard a clear plan of salvation. My brothers and sisters, that ought not to be. And so we have been telling your children the gospel, the gospel. We want them to know Christ personally. And if we can be an assistance to you as a parent, to make sure your kids know this and to be another voice. I tell you, I love the fact that a lot of our people in our church help me by giving my children godly advice. And sometimes kids need to hear the same thing from just another voice. And that's what Awana is. We're just a tool in your hand because we want your kids to be able to answer, who is Jesus? Well, Mom and Dad, who is Jesus to you based on the way you pray? Is he really God who can answer your prayers? Is he really the God who saved your soul and has promised to meet your needs? Who is he? Who is Jesus by the way you worship and how you attend church? Is he real to you? Yeah. Yeah, that's right, baby doll. That's right. Amen. Isn't that what we want for all of our children? The world wants to rob them of the idea that God is fake, that man created God, and that is just foolishness. Amen. When God is real and he created us and we are accountable to a holy God. So who is Jesus? Was he a liar? Was he a lunatic? Or is he actually the Lord of your life? See, the answer to that question not only determines your eternal destiny, it also determines your earthly life. Is he first? Amen. You know, it's hard to believe, but our children always seem to model us. They model the way we talk. They model the way we walk. They model the way we do things. Some of you can remember that I do it this way because Mom taught me, or I do it this way because Dad taught me that. I've got a couple of my boys people refer to as mini-me's. They're mini-me. They look like me. They walk like me. They talk like me. Wouldn't it be great if they loved the God I loved? And they've got to see it in us, Mom and Dad. Our kids don't become what we tell them. They become what we are. And they always seem to gravitate toward our negative rather than our positive. And that is why life is not just a test. Life is a trust. We recognize that your children are just on loan from God to you. And then you're just loaning them to us at Awana. They really belong to our God who gave them to us as a gift. And that one day God is expecting them to be returned as servants, as adults that love him and worship him and glorify him. And it's a privilege to be a part of your family one night a week and just teach them the word and encourage them that they're doing right and they're learning right. And we pray that it's a blessing and that it will have eternal rewards. Because the other thing besides life being a test and life being a trust, we want the children to know their life is a temporary assignment. that they're just ambassadors for Christ, that they're pilgrims traveling this road of life, and one day, this is not their home. The things of this world all shiny and catch our attention, but they're not the value that God places on being faithful. The value that God places on obedience and faithfulness far exceeds money and riches and gain. So today, when we think of the ability to serve, our desire is that your children will leave here knowing who He is. They'll know Him personally. They'll know that their life can count for eternity. Because nothing you do in this life will go beyond this life except what you do for Christ. That's what outlives this life. The jobs you and I have one day will end. The accolades that you and I have earned from our professional careers will one day be boxed and sent to Goodwill. And nobody's going to want them. They're not going to matter. Because when it's all said and done, there's no place for it in the grave nor in heaven. And so our desire is to teach your children also that what they're doing, what they can do for Christ in their life is beyond anything they imagine, and it'll all count for eternity and never be forgotten. But you know, they've got to see it in us. My biggest fear is that I'll lose credibility because I've not represented Christ authentically. If you've ever been concerned about why teenagers shut that switch off at 13 and no longer listen to mom and dad, it's because we lose credibility when we're not authentic. We're not genuine representations of Christ. If we can help you with that, we want to, because it's our concern to encourage one another. You know, Brother Steve encourages me. Brother Mike and Miss April encourage me. Brother Jim and Marilyn, all these workers, they encourage me, and I try to encourage them, because together we need to represent Christ, but we also need to model Him to everyone we meet. If our children can hear Christ in our voice, can see Christ in our actions, can feel Christ in our love to them, then Christ will be real when it's time for them to call upon Him and be saved. Because only that which we do for Christ will outlast this life. We are just aliens and ambassadors and pilgrims and strangers and foreigners. And so we hope that this year has been a blessing to your family. And we're looking forward to hearing from you of the exciting things as your children have conversations with you about Christ and what Christ means to them. And that, you know, maybe this summer you're going to go on vacation. And maybe one of you, whether it's your wife or you or your husband or you, that are the planners. One of you in the family is typically a planner and likes to have lists. I'm looking at some of these people out here, know what I'm talking about. And you will overpack. But when you need it, you'll praise God that you can unpack that thing you hoped you didn't need, but you brought it anyway. And there's a lot of these Bible verses that your children are learning that the Holy Spirit has packed away in their heart. And one day when they face a problem or they face a decision point in their life, the Holy Spirit will unpack that thing. And that Bible verse will come apparent. I've had many adults that have raised up in Awana say to me, I remember that verse. Or I was praying. We were in the hospital. I was praying and a verse came to mind. And that's when the Holy Spirit unpacks it. Bible memory, getting the Bible into the heart of each child is our desire, because one day they're going to need it. In Psalm 119, verse 9, the Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." In verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." What if our children could avoid the mistakes we've made? What if our children could avoid the scars we carry? What if our children could bypass the regrets that we carry with us, the missed opportunities? If we could only put the Word of God in their heart and the Holy Spirit unpack it, like when they need it. And so this year, as it ends, we want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life and a part of your children's life. This year, of course, you'll leave with information on Vacation Bible School, where they'll get more Bible. And then as we do our summer program, they'll get more Bible. And as we look for Awana in 2021 and 2022, they'll get more Bible. We want them to be able to answer who Jesus is. We want them to be able to answer, what, how can my life count? We want them to be able to answer where I'm going and who will meet me when I cross heaven's gate. If you don't know how to answer those questions tonight, brothers and sisters, listen, we'd like an opportunity to share that with you. We'd like an opportunity to show you from the Word of God how to know heaven's your home and know that you know that you know Christ is your Savior. Let us stand, and as we begin to pray, we'll be dismissed in just a second. But if you'll stand, here is an opportunity. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Here is an opportunity for you. If you don't know, if you die today and you're not sure heaven's your home, we want you to have an opportunity to trust Christ. You say, well, I think I'm going to heaven. Well, the problem is we're sinners. And because we're sinners, God cannot accept us into heaven. So Christ came and died on a cross. He was buried and rose again to pay the penalty for our sin. And thus, when we call upon him and are saved, we repent and turn to him and ask him to forgive us. We're born again. And now the blood of Christ and his righteousness is what allows God to bring us into heaven when we die. If you're not sure heaven's your home, won't you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross because of my sin. I believe your blood pays for my sin. Forgive me and be my Savior. I believe. Thank you for saving me. Mom and Dad, if your children have prayed that prayer, share it with us and let us know. But you know, another prayer that would be helpful tonight also is this for Mom and Dad. God, won't you let me show them you in me? Let them see you through me, that they'll love you as I do, that they'll believe in you as I do. Empower me to live for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As she plays and sings, the altar's open. This is an opportunity for you to pray, for you to do business with God. If you're here tonight and you're not sure, you're trusting in a baptism or you're trusting in a Bible study or a communion, it's not by works that we've done. It's according to his mercy he saves us.
I hear the Savior say,
pray with you. We're here. Let us pray with you. Let us show you from the Word.
Indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
My prayer as a parent is, God, let them see Christ through me. Let them see Christ exampled by me and modeled by me. Let them see you as real. In my life,
sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find.
As we tarry for these, there's time for you, children. If you want to know Jesus as your Savior, there's an opportunity to receive him tonight.
The leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Whom do you say that Christ is? Who do your kids think Christ is? Because of our testimony.
I stand.
Who is Christ? Based on our walk with him. Our faithfulness, our obedience. Is Christ real? Do they see it?
My lips shall still repeat. Jesus.
Salvation is not something you do. It's something God does to you because of what God did for you. Our Father and our God, it's wonderful to have these families with us tonight. What a privilege it is to teach the Word of God to young minds and young hearts. And we pray, Father, as we go from this place, we'll take that testimony to those who don't know. And we can tell them about the God who loves us and the Savior who died and rose again for us and the Holy Spirit who abides within us until the day we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Frank, if you'll dismiss.